be patients. But you think about, for those of you who read occasionally, the book Lord of the Flies. It's these normal school children who get stranded on an island and end up basically living by martial law. And they're all, it's crazy how much other human beings and these situations that you're put in and the environments you find yourself in can shape the way that your mind works. And that, I think, is very true of Harvey Weinstein. And again, I'm not defending him, nor am I defending the actresses that, as Derek said, just hopped out and were like, yeah, I want this part. Want to bang?
Yeah.
But at the same time, when you're human beings are so easily conditioned to do things like that.
But there is a world of difference between that and what Kevin Spacey...
Oh, yeah, and having a 26-year-old dude grab a 14-year-old dude's
What Anthony Rapp said, Kevin Spacey did, which is to walk into the bedroom, lay him down on the bed, and get on top of him.
Sorry, we're rambly tonight. It's just some terrible things have been happening.
And he's,
that's why it's hard not to be.
He's 14 years old at the time.
Yeah. I think of myself at 14, like, oh my God.
There isn't a role that he's up for here. This isn't a power dynamics relationship. This is Kevin Spacey saying, I want to have sex with that kid. That is a whole different level of predatory behavior that was not invited, that was not asked for, that was not welcome. Same thing for the women.
Not to mention is entirely illegal.
Yeah.
Like, it's illegal. To be fair, the things that happened with the women who were over 18, it wasn't technically illegal unless he literally forced himself upon them. That, even if Anthony Rapp was like, hell yeah, let's do this, would have been illegal.
Still would have been illegal. This is WMFO Medford. They make me say that. In technology news, speaking before the Senate Intelligence Committee, Colin Stretch, general counsel for Facebook, revealed that 146 million Americans were potentially exposed to Russian propaganda during the 2016 election, with another 20 million possibly exposed on Facebook-owned Instagram. That number is significantly higher than the 10 million Facebook initially reported. Angry senators lashed out at Stretch, as well as lawyers for Google and Twitter, who attended the meeting in place of those companies' chief executives. Google announced that it would adopt technology to prevent foreign agents from buying U.S. political ads, and Facebook said it would be hiring 10,000 people to work on safety and security.
This just beckons to what we were talking about before with... How is this is the the corporate side of what we're talking about with the FBI is like, how are you not monitoring this?
Because,
how are you not?
Because these companies have thrown so much money at Congress. They throw so much money at Congress. The Congress just sits back and says, yeah, what do you want? What do you want? Until their ability.
It bites them in the butt.
Until their ability to get members of Congress rich and elected is threatened, which is exactly what happened in 2016. Russia came in and looked at it and said, no one is paying attention here. Let's go have some fun. By the way, make no mistake. If you watch Homeland, this last season, there's a lot of truth behind what's going on there. Because the Democrats have rooms full of people publishing propaganda on Facebook. The Republicans have rooms full of people publishing propaganda on Facebook. Why shouldn't Russia have rooms full of people publishing propaganda on Facebook? If no one is going to be held accountable for anything,
then throw your hat in that ring.
Then why are we getting upset about the Russians?
Well, it's frustrating. I remember in college, I took a class called Media Industries, and that's when I learned the concept of revolving door syndrome, which basically made me despondent about the state of corporations and the government in the United States, which is, for those of you who don't know what revolving door syndrome is, it's where the heads of corporations, the heads of business, take jobs in Congress and put their friends who just got out of Congress on the boards of their corporations. And then when their term is up, they switch about and do the same thing. And so the CEOs become the congressmen, and then the, I'm sorry, congresspeople, and then the congresspeople become the CEOs. And it just keeps going like that. And that's why when you look and see...
There's usually a stop off on K Street. One of the lobbying firms in between those two positions.
Just to throw everybody
out. Not always, but usually.
But I remember when I learned this concept, it really made me very despondent about just how to get anything done in this country because it became very clear that a very small amount of people were controlling it. And this is an excellent example of that, which Derek made the very good point of Facebook's got so much stock in what Congress is doing that it's like, I don't want to piss Congress off, so let's let them do this. And Congress is like, I don't want to piss Facebook off, so let's let them do this.
Congress has let these companies get away with murder for years. You don't get to the levels of abuse that we see coming out of Facebook and Google and Twitter unless Congress is sitting there aiding and abetting them, basically by refusing to rein in anything that they do. And let's not forget that Amazon owns the Washington Post, so Jeff Bezos has got his mouthpiece in Washington now, in addition to all of the money that Amazon throws at Congress. They're a problem too, but they publish less Russian propaganda, so we're not on about them right now. These companies, Google and Twitter and Facebook, have made the claim over and over again, we're not publishers. We don't publish anything. We're not news organizations. We don't have editorial control. People just post whatever they want. People buy whatever ads they want. And they throw some token rules in about you can do this and you can't do that, that everybody finds a way around or ignores. Unless, God forbid, you are trying to sell medical marijuana to people who need it, in which case Google will shut you down. They're really good about that. But they'll let Russian propaganda run all day long.
Because that's way less harmful than medical marijuana.
Now, Washington finds itself in a situation where the expected transfer of power from Barack Obama to Hillary Clinton did not take place. It did not take place because Hillary Clinton was a corrupt, terrible candidate, and the American people had decided they'd had enough. Unfortunately, we got the bomb-throwing orange man in there, which nobody really asked for, but the bomb throwers won out this time. And now everyone in Congress is sitting around saying, "What? How did this happen? I could not get reelected. It's Facebook's fault."
Well, and that's honestly one of the great ironies I find about the fact that we hired Dum Dum to be president is that for those of you who haven't watched Sarah Silverman's new show on Hulu, I Love America. It's pretty insightful and fantastic, but she goes around and then speaks to people who have different ideologies than her, than she, and just it completely non-judgmentally tries to figure out, you know, like where they're coming from. And the first couple episodes I watched, the overwhelming response of those who voted for Trump was, well, we wanted something different and he's going to run our country like a business. And I giggle and laugh when they say that because you didn't think our country was already run like a business. Our country is a business. They just hide it really well.
Yes, but it's been run by Silicon Valley. It's been run by Google and Facebook and Amazon and Twitter. And the American,
I'm sorry, are those not businesses?
They are businesses. But the American people decided they'd had enough of that leadership and wanted
an orange-faced dummy.
And wanted a ruthless real estate tycoon to come in and set things straight.
Because that'll fix everything.
Yeah. Could have been worse. Could have been worse.
That was my New York grandmother. That'll fix everything.
We could have wound up with somebody from Goldman Sachs.
Don't know why. There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
Stormy weather not entirely in the forecast over the next few days, but the sun will be in short supply. Cloudy skies tonight, lows around 50. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, highs in the upper 60s, lows in the low 60s tomorrow, a little bit warm. Chance of a shower wherever you may happen to be. Friday, same thing. Chance of a shower, cloudy skies, high around 70 degrees. But it cools off Friday night, lows in the mid-40s. On Saturday, partly cloudy skies, a little bit cooler, highs around 50 degrees. Lows in the mid-40s Saturday night. Sunday, look for showers in the morning. Highs around 60 degrees. Lows in the mid-50s Sunday night. And then on Monday, warming up again, high around 70 degrees, 50% chance of rain, so keep that umbrella handy. Lows Monday night in the mid-40s. So still not quite entirely fully autumn-y just yet, but we're getting there. When we come back, did you hear all the other stories that caught our attention this week? Here on WMFO Medford.
You're buying a pork chops? This is Sarah Beck for the U.S. Department of Agriculture with a few suggestions. Most stores carry a wide selection of pork cuts, so shop carefully and select the one that suits your needs best. High-quality, fresh pork will be grayish pink or darker in color. Also be sure the meat is firm and not pale, soft, or watery. And consider the amounts of fat and bone when you compare costs per pound of different pork cuts.
I'm going to the hardware store.
Oh, will you pick up 800 lumen bulbs?
800 more flowers? The neighbors will think we're wacky.
Not flower bulbs, light bulbs.
Come on, Dad. Lumens tell you how bright the bulb is. We can replace our 60-watt bulbs with energy-saving bulbs that give off about 800 lumens.
So, we'll save money.
Right.
Got it. 800 lumens and more savings.
Lumens, the new way to shop for light. Learn more at energysavers.gov.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Big Picture on WMFO 91.5 Medford. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, my fantastic co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call and pipe in, it's 855-915-WMFO 9636 for the Alphabetically Challenged. And right now is one of our favorite parts of the program, which we call Did You Hear? Where we quiz each other on the various events of the past week. And Derek, I'm going to start you off with a little bit of softball. How's that sound?
I love softballs.
Yeah, everyone would love a little softball. And only because of who you are. Let's go Papa John's.
Papa John's, that's the pizza guys. Papa John said in an earnings call today that NFL boycotts are harming his business. And people are buying less pizza because he is associated with the NFL. As a result of this, he has cut back on his NFL advertising and is reconsidering his position as the official pizza sponsor of the NFL.
He is indeed. And does not at least even a little bit acknowledge that it's the fact that his pizza tastes a bit like Play-Doh.
Well, here's the thing. There's a little bit of actual math behind all of this because year to date, his sales are off by 12%. Domino's, or his stock value is off by 12%. Domino's stock value is up 24%.
And it is, I was going to say, I will give him a bit of respect for, apparently this is largely at the result of the controversy about the protest of the national anthem by a lot of players, but that apparently has caused for lots of demonstrations by the various sponsors, but Papa John's is one of the highest profile examples of that, and largely because they're one of the biggest contributors to NFL sponsorship. They are
the official pizza of the National Football League.
They are the official pizza of the National Football League. And if you think about how many guys, last time you watched a football game, did you eat pizza? Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, it is, that it's a huge deal, and I can appreciate that.
A lot of people buying pizza at halftime.
I would say it is. I do love, though, that Domino's stock has gone up because Domino's is even worse than Papa John's.
Yep. David Copperfield.
David Copperfield.
Yeah. This is a follow-up to a story from last week.
Oh, I don't know then.
He's George H.W. Bush's favorite magician. According to Jordana Grodnick, who claims she was inappropriately caressed by the 41st president of the United States. So we had the story last week where I said you were not sexually assaulted by the president. You were maybe inappropriately touched by the president or sexually harassed by the president. Four women have come forward, and they're all telling the same story, which means it's very likely true.
Yeah, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck.
So what happens is a woman gets within vicinity of the wheelchair, and the 41st president of the United States says, "Do you know who my favorite magician is?" Grabs her butt and says, "David Copperfield."
I mean, at least he's... I'm sorry, various women of the world. I'm sorry I laughed at that. Come on.
I'm thinking...
At least he's creative.
Yo, he spent a lot of time hanging out with Clinton. And I gotta believe that he picked that one up from Clinton.
Oh, yeah. That's what... I don't know if you've ever seen the episode of Family Guy about Bill Clinton, but it all sounds very reminiscent of that.
Think of it like getting a Presidential Medal of Honor. How many women can say I've been groped by a president? Outside of everyone in the Clinton White House.
Cheeseburger emoji.
I saw this. There is a controversy going on.
Oh, yes, there is.
Over the placement of the cheese in the Apple cheeseburger emoji versus the Android cheeseburger emoji.
Versus the Google.
They're both wrong.
They are both wrong. I actually had a long discussion with someone about this.
Only the Microsoft cheeseburger emoji gets it correct. Burger, cheese, so that it melts down onto the burger, tomato, and lettuce.
See, this is the interesting thing. So, for those of you who aren't aware, it's so crazy that this is a huge deal.
Apparently it was a slow news week.
Google's, right? Well, that's what I was even saying to somebody. I was like, the only reason this is a news story is because two huge things are happening right now and there's very little else to focus on. But so Google, Apple has the cheese on top of the burger, but the lettuce on the bottom. Google has the lettuce and tomato on top of the burger and the cheese on the bottom. And a writer basically illustrated that, you know, we got to figure this out because it's supposed to go burger, cheese, toppings. And Google CEO Sundar Pichai actually tweeted that he would drop everything to address it as long as everyone could agree. And the I think that was a very diplomatic way of saying that because nothing's happened yet. But I think he proved a good point, not even maybe on purpose. Because people have different opinions. Because earlier today, I actually had like a heated discussion with someone about it. Because I was like, my favorite burgers are the ones from Wendy's. And as you said, Derek, it goes burger, cheese, lettuce, tomato, condiments. And he said, well, look at the way McDonald's does the Big Mac. The lettuce should go on the bottom because it keeps the burger from making the bun soggy.
Which is fine. I'm okay with that. But
the cheese has to go top of burger.
Never grilled a burger, you grill a burger, you put the cheese on just before you take it off, you let the cheese melt, boom, cheeseburger.
Well, and that's the funny thing about this is that part of the reason that they're so different, which I'm sure they didn't think, the fact that people are flipping out over this shows how just, privileged we are as Americans that this is something to get angry about. But part of the reason is that there is an association that specifically their whole job, this job sounds hilarious, by the way, but their whole job is to make sure that the emojis released by various technological companies are not so close that they violate copyright laws. So part of the reason that Google's emoji for a burger is so different from Apple's emoji for a burger is because if they were too close, it would violate copyright laws, which is the grossest thing that's ever come out of my mouth. So that is largely related to the reason because Apple came up with the emoji before Google did. So they were like, how do we make a cheeseburger look different from Apple's? Put the cheese in a different spot. Like that was their whole thought process. And now there's this whole internet debate going on
Were there any Russians involved in the design of these cheeseburger emojis?
I can't imagine there weren't, Derek. I'll be perfectly frank.
There must be, because...
Hopefully there's someone that's going to launch a big investigation.
Here is another attempt by the Russians to divide the American people through social media. That's really what it is. Second round draft pick.
I feel like this is something you're purposely doing to stump me because I don't know stuff like this.
This is like the biggest story in Boston in the last couple of days. It's the biggest story in sports in the last couple of days.
See, that's where you lost me.
They even talked about it during the World Series.
Oh, see, I was too busy getting drunk and screaming, "Go Astros." Uh-huh.
Well, that's what the New England Patriots will get.
I
would
say it's got to be about the
from the
pass.
San Francisco 49ers for backup quarterback, Hottie Jimmy Garoppolo. Yes, ladies, Jimmy G is no longer in town. Could be the 33rd or 34th overall pick, depending on how badly San Fran tanks for the rest of the season. Pats didn't have a choice. His contract was up at the end of this year. They couldn't afford to pay him. It's a good move for everybody. It's a good move for San Fran. They may get a franchise quarterback out of it. It's a good move for the New England Patriots.
Because it's a good move for him.
Lets them keep paying Brady. It's a good move for Jimmy G, who will get to start this season and get an opportunity to prove himself. And Brian Hoyer is going to be coming back to be our backup quarterback.
Well, and I think that's something that's often lost on a lot of sports fans is that they get so... screw anyone that's not our team about it and forget the fact that it is a business. And this is a guy who, it's basically like we were just talking about, like Twitter and Facebook. It's basically like if there was someone that was the number two at Facebook that got the offer to be the head of Twitter.
Yeah.
It's, can you really blame him for being like, yeah, I'll do that?
Yeah.
It's good for him, man.
It's Jimmy G's time to shine.
At the University of Hartford.
Is this the young freshman woman who has been arrested for...
Yes, it is.
...smearing her tampons on her... This is a white girl...
Yes.
...smearing her tampons on her black roommate's possessions.
Oh, not just that.
Oh, I don't need the whole... It's still the dinner hour. We don't need the whole litany of things that she did.
That's actually... The grossest thing she did, luckily, but I mean, that's
pretty gross. No, she apparently stuck her toothbrush up her butt, too, so...
Oh, that I was not aware of from the three articles I read, but yeah. She definitely spit in her roommate's coconut oil, and what I found the grossest was put moldy clam dip inside of her body lotion.
Charming young lady.
And police have arrested, her name is Brianna Broku. Please... memorize that name and throw things at her if you see her on the street.
Yeah.
And said they're asking the court to add a hate crime charge to the list of charges filed against her after reviewing her case. In a statement yesterday, the University of Hartford president, Greg Woodward, called the incident deeply upsetting and said it has brought about accusations of racism. The student has been expelled and as of this morning will not be returning. And this is my favorite part, is that the victim reported she was suffering from severe throat pain and couldn't understand why because she kept very good care of herself and suspected her roommate, who appeared to be racist, was tampering with her personal items. And as police investigated, they learned that her roommate posted on Instagram multiple times that she had tampered with her roommate's property and deposited bodily fluids on other property and included photos in these Instagram posts.
Oh, nice.
So not only is she an ignorant racist, she's also a dumbass who doesn't know how to cover the tracks of her ignorant racism.
We're not usually associating intelligence with racists, so...
This is true.
You know...
But at least some criminals, because what she did, it's a crime. That is a crime. Taking racism entirely out of it, I mean, this resulted in this girl getting sick as a result of the tampering of her personal items. But she committed a crime and then posted evidence of it herself.
Yep.
Like, seriously, how stupid can you, how did you get into the University of Hartford, dum-dum?
There's your answer. The University of Hartford.
It's not, it's a decent school.
Yeah, but it's not like Harvard, you know?
Yeah, it's fair. people at Harvard's gonna be ass faces too.
Not like UNH. Oh yeah, no, you can find ass faces anywhere. But yeah, this one's particularly egregious. Rose McGowan.
It's got to have something to do with Harvey Weinstein.
No, it does not.
No?
No.
Has a shaved head. That's the only other thing I can possibly
yes.
know.
You know what else she has? An arrest warrant.
Who and a what?
That
I definitely did not see.
From CNN, Metropolitan Washington Airports Authority Police Department issued a warrant in February for something that happened in January. The felony charge stems from a police investigation of personal belongings that tested positive for narcotics and were left behind on United Flight 653, arriving at Washington Dulles International Airport on January 20th, 2017. I believe that was Inauguration Day, wasn't it?
Twas.
So she was bringing some drugs to D.C.
I mean, I can't entirely blame her.
Rose McGowan's response on Twitter, "Are they trying to silence me? No, Rose. You brought drugs on a plane like a dumbass."
They're trying to treat you like any other American citizen is what they're doing.
I suggest you go to Virginia and get that sorted out.
Oh, you dummy.
"Are they trying to silence me? No. You brought drugs on an airplane. Don't bring drugs on the plane, kids."
Yeah. Unless you hide them really well.
No, don't bring drugs on the plane, period.
I mean, I've never done that. Any law enforcement that's listening. Puerto Rico mayor.
Was supposed to speak in front of Congress today.
Mm-hmm.
Her appearance on a hearing to discuss what's been happening in Puerto Rico was abruptly canceled, at which point she went to the media and started saying, "They're trying to hide what's happening down here." Apparently, she didn't get the memo about the terrorism in New York City yesterday.
Well, actually, technically, the reason that I was drawn to the story is because she borrowed a quote from one of my favorite movies, which is A Few Good Men, and said that Donald Trump, quote, can't handle the truth.
I'm pretty sure Donald Trump can handle the truth. I'm also pretty sure that Washington might be slightly preoccupied today.
This is true.
With another ISIS attack.
In her defense, though, and while I do understand, obviously, this happened yesterday, we spent a good half hour talking about it an hour ago. But in her defense, I think that part of her frustration was drawn upon the fact that without having any terrorist attacks happening, it was when the hurricane hit Puerto Rico, it almost felt, and I mean, I'm a continental United States American, and looked at it as he's treating this like it's like a neighboring country and not part of our country. And I think that that was part of her frustration with this, was just saying, like, I get that something else happened, but 6 weeks ago, something terrible, like she said that the island still remains in a life or death situation, which I believe. She said survival cannot be our new way of life, which is what they've been dealing with for a month and a half. Like, New York,
there has
obviously
been a lot,
I
just want to say, there has been a lot of disconnect between what she's saying and what other mayors in Puerto Rico are saying.
That's fair.
And the situation on the ground. So I think she's doing a lot of media grandstanding here and may not be the most reliable source of information about what's happening in Puerto Rico.
But to be fair, too, you have to think about San Juan is perhaps one, if not the most major city, one of the most major cities in Puerto Rico. It's, if you're the mayor of San Juan, it's like being the mayor of Boston if we're talking about Massachusetts.
Sure.
So if other mayors are kind of downplaying it, perhaps it's not because things aren't as bad as she's trying to make them out to be. Perhaps it's because they feel it's small fish, small pond, talking to a big fish in the biggest pond in the world.
But the other side of it is there are all sorts of logistical realities when it comes to, I mean, all power to the island was lost, okay?
Oh, no, absolutely.
And there are all sorts of logistical realities in getting that fixed. And we had a similar situation here over the weekend. We still got people in Massachusetts up not far from here in the Merrimack Valley with no power who won't have it until this weekend. Now, if you talk to someone in Billerica who's got power about how the electric company did versus somebody who's up in Lowell and doesn't have power, you're going to get radically different versions of how well they did. The bigger picture lies somewhere in between those realities, because they go in, they fix what they can quickly, try and get as many people back online as possible, and then deal with the more difficult stuff.
Oh, no, and I think that's absolutely true. But I think the sheer fact that, as much as obviously, as we've illustrated, what happened in New York yesterday was devastating and is absolutely worth national attention, at the same time, your point is kind of my point as well, whereas I'm sure Mayor Carmen, I can't pronounce her middle name, Carmen Cruz, understands just as much how terrible what happened in New York is yesterday, but she understands even better because it's the town in the island she's a mayor of.
On the one hand, it's good that you're keeping it in front of people and you're bringing it up because there are still needs there. On the other hand, don't get your hearing canceled for very obvious reasons and then scream political cover up.
But that's my point, is that were it not for the fact, if it had been handled properly from the get-go, if he had not responded as basically insinuating that Puerto Rico isn't part of the United States, which it very much is, if that had not been the way that things were handled 6 weeks ago, then I don't think she would have pulled that.
But again, there's a disconnect between what he said and what was happening on the ground.
Oh, no, absolutely.
And we talked about the basic problem with Puerto Rico and that you've got to get everything in there.
No, they got everything
on the island. There's no truck drivers anywhere. There's been a lot of bad to go around on this.
Oh, yes, but there's a different... He could have handled it in such a way that was, we're doing everything we can, instead of implying...
Correct.
What he essentially did was imply that Texas was more important than Puerto Rico at the time.
Yeah.
And I think that her reaction today was largely in relation to that. Had that not been the case 6 weeks ago, she perhaps would have said, you know what, that thing that happened yesterday was more important, forget it. But today, it was kind of her throwing her hands up in the air, being like, are we still not important, even though we're part of this country? Like, I think that's the way I saw her reaction. But anyways, shout out Puerto Rico. I hope things get better. I'm sorry, that was a terrible time to laugh, but more just that it is, I do feel terrible that it keeps being overshadowed, like the situation in Puerto Rico just keeps being overshadowed at every turn. Like, that's why I understand what Carmen Cruz is going through, is that it just keeps, that was not laughter out of thinking it's funny, it was laughter out of just, I can't believe this keeps happening to you, because every time something terrible is going on in Puerto Rico and they have a chance to bring light to it, something else happens essentially closer to DC, and it keeps getting overshadowed. And again, not discounting the horrifying things that happened in Houston and all of Texas, not discounting the horrifying things that happened yesterday in New York City, but it must be so incredibly frustrating to be continually discounted, or at least continually demoted, as a result of things that are deemed more important than what's happening to you.
But again, I need more evidence of that than just her going on television and making more noise.
All right. You know what, Derek? I'm going to hire a helicopter. I'm going to have them bring me over Puerto Rico.
Good.
And I'll show you how terrible it is there.
Good. And that works for me.
I'll see you next week.
Because again, it's like asking that person up in Lowell right now what they think of National Grid. You're not going to get a happy response.
But by your own definition, the truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Correct. But it may be because the transmission towers fell down and they have to rebuild them, which takes longer than just reconnecting a line to a phone pole that was knocked off by a tree.
Well, the difference, my point is, National Grid can come out in a statement and say that. They don't have to say we're dealing with things on the mainland that are more important, or we're dealing with things in Billerica that are more important.
I'm not arguing that point.
By the way, that might be the first time that sentence has ever been said. We're dealing with things in Billerica that are more important. Sorry.
I'm not arguing Billerica.
Yeah,
I'm not arguing that point at all. all right. Sephora
is a great place to buy makeup.
Mm-hmm. Is it?
Apparently not, based on whatever you're about to say.
A woman in California is suing the company for emotional distress, claiming she contracted herpes from a lipstick sample at one of their stores.
That's on her.
Well, according to her, it's on Sephora for not keeping the lipstick sample clean. Are you using the lipstick sample at the store?
Well, here's the thing. As someone who frequents Sephora, they provide you with various instruments to use and give you very strict instructions to cover their legal butts. All of it is the actual lipstick tubes and lip gloss tubes and things like that. But they give you specific applicators and say, please use, only dip each applicator specifically once. Do not re-dip. Apply once to get a, like they, all of this is in a disclaimer.
Yeah.
And I don't even do that because I have watched other women walk up and just put it on their lips. Yeah,
this is the problem.
And that's not on Sephora. That's on the dirty hoes that go to Sephora.
Well, until the lawyers get involved and then it becomes Sephora's problem.
That, I mean, that's a classic.
Don't use the lipstick testers is what we're saying. Don't.
That's what I'm saying. Is it's a, in my opinion, it's a very, I've been waiting for a story like this about Sephora to come out.
I didn't even know that was a thing that could happen.
Oh yeah, not literally every product, but the majority of products that you can purchase at Sephora have some form of sample you can use.
Yeah.
And with good reason, because it's part of the beauty of that company is they understand people have different coloring, skin tones, skin texture, fill in the blank of all these things that women talk about that you're not actually interested in, but do matter to us.
That stuff's wicked pricey, yo.
And it's exactly, it's like you don't want to buy an eyeshadow that costs $30 a palette to get home and be like, shoot, this makes me break out on my eyelids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's not a good time.
But that's the whole reason that they do that. And it's wonderful, but because that's the thing is this woman, what happened to her is not on Sephora. It's on the people that don't follow their basically code of conduct.
We'll see. Because if it happened in their store and they're aware of it and they don't do anything about it, you may actually have a liability case there. I can't imagine that herpes lives that long on a lipstick sampler, but I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I can understand the method of transmission.
That even more so, though, that's the thing, is that herpes, from my research, because I'm a hypochondriac, herpes can't live outside, like off of a human host for very long.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, there is a very decent chance that this woman in question watched someone who had an active cold sore put lipstick on her lip, put it back, and then picked it up and did the exact same thing.
Which would also explain how she knew that she got it at Sephora.
Exactly.
And not from the guy she was kissing at the bar later that night.
Which, like I said, is against Sephora has very standard, they have it posted, which is why I think that this case is going to be thrown out. They have it posted, please use the disposable applicators provided. Do not touch the actual product.
A good lawyer will make the argument that the sign alone is not a sufficient deterrent to people doing that.
Because people are dumb.
And that Sephora should be monitoring the use. So
that means Sephora needs like way more employees. Ooh, can I get a day job at Sephora? I love cheap makeup. I'm saying it'd be cheaper because I'd have a discount.
They'd love you.
Yeah, they would. Have you seen this face? Oh, most of you haven't. It's pretty cute. what do I have? One more?
You got one more.
One more. Oh, what to do with it? Okay. Premature birth.
Did this happen to someone that we know recently? Is it up?
Probably.
Is it up? Is it down? Is it sideways?
No, yeah, it's sideways, Derek. That's sideways? How they marriage. That's how they marriage. Really, Shay? I've had a long day, guys. Sorry.
Same amount of premature birth
that's
we
how
had
they
last year?
Measure. No, a new report from the March of Dimes finds that the number of premature births is going up in the U.S. for the second year in a row.
Isn't it going up specifically among the white ladies?
After holding steady for the past 3 years. The report finds that 9.8% of babies born in the U.S. are born prematurely, which is 380,000 a year. That's down from 10.4% in 2007, but it's ticked back up from 9.6% in 2015.
Yeah,
it's not that much of an increase, but it's still, but you are correct. It is mainly with white women.
But if you're on like 0.5% away,
which means woohoo minorities, you're carrying babies to term.
Here's the thing. If you're 0.5% on either side of a number, and that number is 10, I think we can just assume that there's sort of a 10% premature birth rate, period.
You right? have to, but okay, that's fair if you're talking about 100 people. How many people are born each year in the United States? If 9.8 is 380,000.
Right, no, but it's that same number every, like some years there's 10,000 more, some years there's 10,000 less. This is a good way for the March of Dimes to get their name in the paper. But it's not, we're not talking about a major, like if it went up to 20%,
that it'd is be like, oh, snap.
Wait a minute.
Well, the reason it hasn't is because of women like me who are very, very, very purposely not having children despite being in prime childbearing age.
No, but this is,
2017.
Yeah, I don't know that that necessarily, I don't know that the fact that women are having children older has a lot to do with it. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't.
No, I'm saying that it doesn't have to do with women having children older. It's women specifically. The reason that I feel that it hasn't gone up as significantly as you're referencing is because a lot of women are choosing not, because it's based on the amount of children born. It's not based on the amount of women in the country. And a lot of women currently,
no,
especially,
it's based on the number
especially
babies
since,
born.
That's what I'm saying. Especially because Orange Face became president, a lot of us are deciding to do the most permanent version of birth control that we can, and therefore
watch his press conferences,
not having babies.
Watch his press conferences.
Yeah, watch his press conferences and get turned off to men completely.
What's the opposite of an aphrodisiac?
Donald Trump.
No, but I mean, what's the word that's the...
An antidesiac?
An antidesiac?
I just made that up.
That's Donald Trump press conference. Okay.
Fair point.
Okay, last one for you. Alaska.
Sounds cold.
It is.
Is expensive. Has a buttload of oil. Has cool glaciers that are bright blue inexplicably. That's all I got.
You know what else it's got? The most sexually transmitted diseases in the United States.
That makes sense.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, somebody crunched the numbers on this and said, hey, where's all the STDs at? Ladies and gentlemen, the answer is Alaska.
Chlamydia, Alaska.
Bristol Palin and company are spreading the STDs. Not Bristol Palin specifically.
Gonorrhea, Alaska. Oh my God, it works with all of them.
As you mentioned, it's cold, it's dark.
Everyone's bored.
Not a lot to do in Alaska. Coming in at number
Gonorrhea,
two.
Gonorrhea, Alaska. Coming in at number two
for most STDs.
Let me guess. Montana.
No.
Idaho.
No, it's one of those states that's always on these bad health lists.
Oh, then like Mississippi.
Yes. Mississippi, number two for the STDs.
Oh my God, I love that I get that right the minute you said that.
Louisiana is number three, and I'm going to guess that that has a lot to do with Mississippi
tourism.
It's
being right next door.
Yeah. Coming in at number four, Georgia.
I mean,
how many
peach trees can one really climb?
Don't have sex with the locals if you go down to Georgia, and
or at least wear like nine rubbers.
Number five, New Mexico.
Yeah, again, it's the same as the Alaska theory, where it's just like they're bored. I've been to New Mexico. It's pretty boring. There's really good like Native American craft stands and pretty desert stuff, but otherwise,
nobody's worried about an outbreak originating in New Mexico because no one goes there.
If there's an outbreak in New Mexico, it is at least very contained.
So here are your five states with the least amount of STDs. Fewest STDs in the country, Vermont. Feel free to bareback all you want.
Because they're all too stoned.
In the Green Mountain State.
They're
because...
so stoned that, number one, there have been studies that show that marijuana can kill certain that might creep into your system if it's administered the proper
There's
amount.
Also nobody
and
up there.
And everyone's super tired.
There's nobody up there.
Pot,
they're all spread out.
They don't have time to have sex. That's not true. Have you been to Burlington? Burlington's a good time.
But that's like the one place
Heather,
in Vermont.
My cousin Heather went to UVM, and I was like, I could totally bang a lot of dudes here.
That's the one place in Vermont. Like White River Junction, maybe. Burlington, yes. But there's not a lot going on up there.
That's true. If you're banging someone, it's like on the regular in the treehouse that you have in the woods.
Behind Vermont, we have New Hampshire.
That, again, makes sense.
For a state with Hampton Beach and Manchester in it, I'm a little surprised, to be honest with you.
Well, I'd love to see the statistics on unplanned pregnancies for New Hampshire, I will say.
Behind New Hampshire, this one surprised me, West Virginia. I guess
it's
everybody's...
It's the same principle that you have about Vermont and New Hampshire. West Virginia is... They've got some college areas, but for the most part, it's very... it's like everyone knows everyone in town. If there was one person with an STD, nobody would bang them.
I guess either that or everybody left, you know?
No, West Virginia's beautiful.
But it's
super, super outdated in a lot of ways.
But it's just really as boring pretty. As Alaska.
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, it is. It's
I've been
boring.
To West Virginia.
They have winter. It gets cold.
Yeah. Have you ever seen the Appalachian Mountains and the Shenandoah River there?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I've been
beautiful.
To West Virginia.
Well, then why are you talking so much smack, man?
Because it's dull. I mean, other than the mountains, there's nothing. There's no art. There's no culture. There's no sports teams. There's coal mining and a couple of universities.
I wouldn't say that's fair. Where
it's
I went was
football.
Where WVU is, or
yeah.
UW, I don't know what it's called. The place with the college and the stuff.
Number four, the least amount of STDs, Maine. Again. Maine, really?
Get it, New England.
Yeah. And finally, the fifth fewest STDs, surprise, surprise, Utah. Where you can't even have sex. That's your Mormons working for you. Massachusetts, by the way, we are the ninth least diseased
that's
state.
That's what I was going to say. We've got to be up there.
In the country. We are. Because, look, we are surrounded by states that don't have it.
Yeah. It stands to reason that, you know, even with being in the small state side of the country, like whoever's from around here is going to be traveling through here. I bet Connecticut and Rhode Island are actually up there in the not having it, too. Probably Connecticut sooner than Rhode Island.
Yeah, I didn't see where Connecticut was on the list. I didn't go through everything, but
I'd imagine Connecticut is close to us.
The top and the bottom. It is WMFO Medford. 855-915-WMFO is the telephone number. Coming up, we're just going to go straight ahead to our favorite things from the past week and the strangest things from the past week. And at 9 o'clock tonight, On the Town with Mikey D, we'll be right here, right on this very radio station, with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. Rip the knob off, run outside, tell the neighbors it's WMFO, and we'll be back right after this. A little reminder that it is Fallback Weekend.
Woody woot!
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing. Writers and critics who prophesize with your pen, and keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again. And don't speak too soon, for the wheel's still in spin, and there's no telling who that it's naming. For the loser now will be later to win, for the times, they are a-changing. Senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't lock up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. The battle outside raging will soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. The mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing. Strong. the curse it is cast. The slow one now will later be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order is rapidly fading, and the first one now will later be last, for the times, they are a-changing.
Everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
WMFO Medford, you are listening to The Big Picture. Thank you so much for sticking around with us. We're here for a few more minutes with some of our favorite things to wrap up the show. Right now is our segment called What's Hot, where we talk about our favorite things from the past week, the next week, or, you know, just whatever we think you should know about. And as usual, I'm going to use this to shamelessly plug myself. And it's an important one, though. This Friday, I am at the Comedy Studio in Cambridge once again. But it's an important one because this is one of the very last times that they will be having a show. And it is my very last time performing there.
I thought they were doing this stuff until the end of December. I thought they were going until New Year's Eve, and then that was over. Did it move up?
No, but this is my last time.
Well, nobody cares about you. There's still going to be shows there.
Yes, I'm sure nobody cares about me if they're listening to this show.
No, but I mean, I don't want
it's
people...
It's still one of the last times. That's less than 2 months. Today's November 1st.
Yeah.
But it is... You can keep going, but if you want to see me, I know I talk all the time about how you guys can come see me perform, and I very rarely... have a good occasion for you. That's not true. I have occasions for you to do it, but this, if you want to come see me perform, this is a really good time to. And the lineup is really awesome. Like Al Park's going to be on it. He won the Boston Comedy Festival a couple of years ago. Mike Kaplan, who's had his own Comedy Central special and writes for all sorts of television shows. Like, it's going to kick so much ass. And I really, and on a personal note, this is I've been doing comedy for almost 8 years now, and this was one of the first places I performed professionally. And it's kind of breaking my heart that it's leaving. They are moving to a new location, but this is the original location where it's been for over 20 years, above the Hong Kong and Harvard Square. And it's breaking my heart a little that this Friday is going to be my last time. So if you guys wanted to come out and support, I'd really love it. And support Boston Comedy in general. We're awesome.
Good times. Website?
TheComedyStudio.com.
Nice. And that's in Harvard Square, third floor above the Hong Kong. Yes, right on Mass Ave.
Right across from Harvard.
Easy to get to. See, if you're going to plug...
If you've hit the brick, it's there. I said Comedy Studio in Cambridge, Hong Kong, and Harvard Square. What else could you possibly need?
If you're going to plug, give the URL. You always give the URL when you plug. Always.
TheComedyStudio.com.
There you go. Go see Shay. She is very, very funny.
Shucks.
She's very, very funny in the clubs, unlike when she's on the radio show.
When I'm just brilliant and fantastic.
So, Lego fans, I'm gonna give you a tip off right now.
You are getting annoyed with me for talking about comedy when you are talking about Legos.
Yeah, because Legos are cool, and comedy is cool too, but more people are going to want to buy Legos than go see a comedy show. It's just the way of the world.
I think that's just the way of the world in your mind.
They sell billions of dollars worth of stuff every year. So today, Lego came out with its Women of NASA set. And this is
that is pretty dope.
Four influential women in NASA's history with dioramas, including one of the space shuttle. Go get it now. Now, the Lego store near you may still have them. Call before you go. Go get it now. The last set that came out, the Research Institute sold out almost immediately. It was a nightmare at Christmas time. I'm giving you the heads up. Women of NASA came out today. I think it's already sold out online, but it is probably still available at a Lego store near you. Call them, go get it, and then you'll have that problem solved. There is another set that was announced, and this is a big deal. This is a re-release of the largest Lego set ever made.
What?
At one point in time, the Taj Mahal is going to be available.
I've heard of this one.
This holiday season. This has 5,923 pieces, and it is going to cost just $369.99. That's about 6 cents a brick. By comparison, the Millennium Falcon that's out right now, if you could even get one, is going to cost you $800. Has more pieces, but still. This is a great value if you got $370 to spend on Lego. This is a great present.
That's a big if.
This is a great present for anybody who's really into Lego. Here's the catch. It is going to be out on November 27th. It is going to sell out on November 27th.
I was going to say, it's going to be gone that day.
So you're either on their website, shop.lego.com, at midnight on November 27th, or you are in a Lego store when they open at 10 a.m. on November 27th, you will get one. Don't think you're going to walk in there a week later and be like, you got the Taj Mahal. They're not going to have it. So if you know somebody who wants it, make plans now.
And it will end up being actually less expensive after the 27th to get an actual ticket to the actual Taj Mahal.
Correct. Correct. So if you know somebody who would like to have this, please make plans to get it now. November 27th, it'll be available. It is one of the greatest Lego sets of all time. So anybody who's a huge Lego fan, you need that big special gift for this Christmas, that's the one you want to get.
Molly, I hope you're listening. WMFO Medford 91.5. This is one of our favorite and always our final aspect of the big picture, which is entitled That's a Thing That Happened.
Yes, you got
it. I did indeed. Hey, I take notes, ma'am. Where we recall maybe the craziest or weirdest or what have you thing that happened last week. For me, I am very proud of these two people, though their names will not be released. Two passengers aboard a Delta Airlines flight were arrested over the weekend for making more than just their connections.
Mm.
Officials arrested a 48-year-old woman and a 28-year-old man after she performed oral sex on him mid-flight on Sunday.
Booyah!
I was going to say 48 and 28? Get it, girl. The passengers were strangers before boarding the flight, and though they did not release their names, police said that both passengers were making connecting flights. Both passengers, and that were not together, by the way. Both passengers were issued citations after the plane landed in Detroit, and the case is now with the FBI. Dude, I would be totally down for an FBI investigation if I had that story to tell at cocktail parties.
Do we need the feds involved in oral sex?
Yeah, like,
in oral
on.
Sex on the plane?
If anything, they should have had a standing ovation as they left.
Yeah, is this a terrorist incident?
Well, the crew was saying, like, there were children on board. It's like, the children don't know what the hell is going on. This 48-year-old woman is getting with a dude 20 years younger than her. Get it, girl. It made me happy.
It gave me
hope for my future.
They call her Air Cougar. Air Cougar. It's flying again. Oklahoma. John Wayne Kellerman, first of all. If you name your kid
John
Wayne.
You're just asking for it.
Yeah. If you name your kid John Wayne, it doesn't turn out well.
Usually it's Bobbitt or Gacy or...
Yeah. It just doesn't turn out. Don't name your kid John Wayne. John Wayne Kellerman, 54. That wasn't even the guy's real name. John Wayne's real name was Marion. John Wayne Kellerman, 54, was pulled over for speeding in Enid. That's not unusual. What is unusual is Kellerman's condition while driving. The patrolman reported that Kellerman was clad only in bikini underwear.
Oh.
And that his body was covered in Vaseline. The patrolman noticed an open porno magazine in the passenger seat and asked Kellerman if he had been masturbating while driving, which Kellerman admitted. After handing over a Vaseline-smeared ID card... Kellerman offered up a rag to the patrolman to clean his hands, which the patrolman wisely declined. Kellerman heads to jail for driving with a revoked license, which expired in 1985.
What? How is his expired license the reason he went to jail.
Apparently, Mr. Kellerman spent a few years in the state penitentiary, got out, and instead of renewing his license, invested in a pair of Speedos and a bottle of Vaseline.
But you know, we all need our priorities, Eric.
You know, things are different in the 1980s. We used to drive around masturbating all